This is an ABC podcast.
1997. I was 14 years old, lined up on the school oval for our house athletics carnival, taking part in some horrific 400 or 800 metre sprint. I don't know what it was. All I know is I wasn't happy to be there. The gun went off. My little legs started spinning. Away I ran, swiftly fell behind, watched the other members of my school community fading away into the distance, rounding the bend. But still I struggled on. I persevere, I do. Kept on going until the next race started. And then the next race. That's right. I took so long to complete my race that I was lapped by the next two events, the final one being the over 1600 metre sprint, and I kid you not, I physically, literally, and spiritually got trampled that day. They still talk about it at my old school. I went down into the grass face first as the older kids ran over me. And as I lay face down in the grass, I remember staring at that soil and thinking, one day I will be an Olympian. That did not happen. So children, don't always believe your crazy dreams, because sometimes they are unattainable and they will end in heartbreak. I did, however, end up here on my own podcast, and I'll take that as a bronze medal at least. Thank you for joining me for the Snack Pack this week. It is a sports-based special, which, as you've just heard, is not my forte, but it's still something I can get around. It's still something I can get excited about, particularly during an Olympic Games. So, boy oh boy, some champions coming up today. Surfing champion Lane Beachley in the Snack Pack. Basketball legend Beck Cole in the Snack Pack. Olympic maestro Kieran Perkins in the Snack Pack. But wait, there's even more. I think we need to supersize. We need one of those bigger jumbo packets that they just bring out at special occasions. Because we're also going to be chatting to Jimmy Giggle, the satirical wonder kid, or Jimmy Reese, as he is now known. Michael Chugg, the touring impresario, will also be stopping by. I'll try to make him laugh. And professor in linguistics at Monash University, Kate Burridge, will teach us all what the term furky toodling means. I have no idea, but I can't wait to find out. First up, it's Evan Morgan Graham, ABC sports journalist and digital content producer, who has been trawling the list of Olympians this year to find his favourite names. Evan, what have you uncovered?
There are a number I went through, but I'll give you a few of my favourites. The first is a young sprinter who's representing us in the 4x400 metre relay. Her name's Ellie Beer. Now, you'll agree beer is one of the greatest things I think mankind's ever invented. We all love beer, and her name is Beer. So I feel as though, as far as affection with the Australian public, she's got it made in the shade.
Are we going to give, is this a sort of bronze medal of best names? Are we on the podium yet?
Well, I think, we'll give her the bronze. Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. She even said, this is from her official Olympic bio, she said that as a youngster at one of her kind of track meets, a friend of her dad's rocked up with a specially made hat that said, "Only here for the beer," which, you know, is funny and supportive. I'm sure you'll agree that's the best kind of funny.
Yeah, look, I couldn't agree more. I also think it gives her, like, it gives journalists endless fodder for headlines. I started to think of what's happened to her over the years, and if success continues, what they'll do with the headlines.
Of course, yeah. I mean, there's just so much potential there.
Well, let's move on from getting on the beers or holding our beers into, I guess, I've got a big empty spot in second. There's a silver medal ready to award.
Yeah, this is going to be jointly awarded. We're moving into the area of nominative determinism, both working as intended and then being totally thwarted. The first is a rower, one of our rowers, a two-time Olympian named Olympia Aldersey. You name your child Olympia, she becomes an Olympian. It's all going to plan. But sharing the silver is a young steeplechaser named Ed Trippis. Now, I don't know if you know much about steeplechase. Tripping's the last thing you want to do. If you trip us over anything, you're basically out of the race. It's all about not trippising. And yet, Ed, he's excelling to the point where he's representing the country. I think this is a riposte nominative determinism we'll never recover from.
I mean, do you think it was his Batman Begins moment at primary school when someone just laughed at his name and he just had this in his mind's eye ever since?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. You know, he's clearly a plucky kind of fella who's just thinking, I'm going to stick it to fate no matter what.
I'm chatting to Evan Morgan Graham, ABC sports journalist and creator of the globally respected Morgan Graham theorem, which awards Olympians names in order and in honour of their awesomeness. So we've done some bronze, we've done some silver. Evan, who's taken out Top Gong?
Well, you know, this list is full of puns. It's full of kind of wordplay, but the gold medal winner is just a simply magnificent name. A young weightlifter of ours named Charisma Precious Amo Tarrant. Now, if your name is Charisma Precious, I think you win basically every name competition you're in. And she's an incredible weightlifter. So already she's a sort of awe-inspiring person. Worthy of all sorts of respect, you know, showered with praise. And yet her name's Charisma Precious. I mean, this is unbelievable. When I saw the name on the list, you know, I had to sit in silence, stunned silence, for a number of minutes. I was getting paid for the minutes, so you know, I took my time. But I just thought, this is incredible. I mean, Charisma Precious, you know, she's the gold medal winner.
This is the Sammy J Snack Pack. Please enjoy in moderation.
Well, surfing is officially an Olympic sport for the first time ever. Lane Beachley, AO, is a 7-time world champion and chair of Surfing Australia, for whom this event has come a little too late at the Olympics, but no doubt is cheering on from the sidelines.
Sammy, how are you? I still surf every day.
Every day. And when you're out there and you're, you know, bobbing away and there's some little punk kid who's 12 years old, do they ever recognise you? And it becomes a bit of a quasi-competition.
Sometimes. If they recognise me, it becomes a competition. If they don't, then they just drop in on me and then I have to school them.
Have you ever used the phrase, don't you know who I am, when you're out on the ocean?
No, I never assume people to know who I am, irrespective of their age, because you just don't know where they come from.
So when I'm hosting The Breakfast Show on ABC Radio Melbourne, how do we listen to that, even if we're not in Melbourne, Sammy? Great question, dear podcast listener. You can tune in via the ABC Listen app whenever you want. But I digress. I like to get into clubs, I like to find out things and communities that I don't know much about, but the way I get into it is by doing, generally speaking, a really bad rap to introduce my guest, just to see how they respond. I'm pretty excited and a little nervous today to rap before basketball legend herself, Bec Cole. Let's do it. Basketball, it's a game of skill. Put the ball in the net and you do it until you get more points than the other flippin' team. Then you've won and you're done and you cheer and you scream. But what if the number of the players is less? Can you still play ball? Can you still impress when it's half a court? Do you fight or flee? Welcome to the world of 3x3.
Damn, what an intro. Thanks for having me.
Did I properly encapsulate the spirit of this game?
You sure did. I'm not going to lie. You really did. And that's pumped me up.
For people who don't know what 3x3 is, can you give us a quick overview?
Yeah. Like, in a few words, I would just say it's physical, it's athletic, and it's aggressive and exciting. So for me, I say it's, you know, the T20, it's the Fast Five, it's, you know, the Sevens rugby. Like, that's how it's the new street urban form of basketball.
I love that answer, but it's almost like a politician's answer because it was beautiful and inspiring, but you gave us no specifics at all, Bec.
Okay, so instead of a full court, it's pretty much a three-point line, and it's only a 10-minute game, and it's first to 21 or whoever's up after 10 minutes. And during that time, the scoring is different. So what's normally is a three-pointer is 2 points, and what's normally is a two-pointer is worth 1 point.
And everyone is going for the same net, of course. There's only one net to go for.
Exactly. Only one net. So it's almost like a king of the court version in that style of the game.
Where did it – do you know, how did it start out? It sounds like something that started like an underfunded school or something where they had to make do with not a full-sized court.
Well, what's funny, the hashtag, because it's now at the Olympics, is it started from the streets. Now we're at the Olympics. So it's been in Australia. We've only been playing it for like 4 years internationally.
I understand Australia will not be taking part in the 3x3 at the Olympics as of this stage.
No. So we went to the Olympic qualifying tournament about 2 months ago, and unfortunately we were unsuccessful.
How did you come into this game yourself, Beck? Even like emotionally, like you grew up knowing what basketball was and having a pretty set, you know, expectation of what the game was. Did it take quite a lot to shift your head into this idea of throwing a lot of the existing rules out?
Yeah, so it was actually at a point where I think I was coming back from like a major injury and I was playing like just normal basketball and I was just in a bit of a like lacking confidence low part, and it was called the 3x3 Pro Hustle that gets played now yearly, and a coach that I just knew was like, hey, do you want to be a part of my team? This thing is, you know, running. And so I was like, yeah, sure, no worries. Knew the other girls. Also, there's another rule. There's only four players, three on the court, one sub. So that's another change. And I fell in love with it straight away because it's very my style of basketball. It's very one-on-one and it's attacking, and that's how I play the normal game. So I was like, why have I not been playing this? I love this game.
Just to finish up, you know, we always get our guests to finish with a rap. Are you ready for your rap, Beck?
Oh, my God.
Have you prepared something?
Okay. No, I wish I would have prepared. Okay.
I'm not going to force you to do that. I'm just being an idiot.
Oh, thank God.
You're listening to the Sammy J Snack Pack. Yummy, yummy in my ear tummy.
Who specialised in the 1500-metre freestyle and won successive Olympic gold medals in this event in the 1990s? Who won his first gold medal at the 1992 Olympics and then went back and claimed the same gold medal at the 1996 Olympics when he defended his own title? Who has won four Olympic medals? Who is a legit Aussie champion? It's Kieran Perkins.
Sammy, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. How you going?
Well, after that wind-up, fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, look, I mean, I feel like I had to bring my A-game because my image of Kieran Perkins is that he's up at 4 o'clock every morning having a massive bowl of cereal and smashing out 20K in the pool. Is that still an accurate portrait of the Perkins lifestyle?
Absolutely not.
Ah, sport. Another great memory of mine, doing cross-country. I was the Forrest Gump of my school. I just walked or ran instead of doing anything else. We used to have to do a thing where we'd run along the Nepean Highway down on the Mornington Peninsula in the state of Victoria, and we'd have to chuck a left at Tower Road. Once, in fact, every week, I failed to chuck a left. I just hid in the bushes until the teacher went past. Then I would sneak back to school casually, wet myself at the bubblers. Not like wet my pants, wet my face. I realised bubblers doesn't always translate into state. Drink fountain. What the point is, I cheated. Okay, I cheated badly, but the teacher would get back and I would look sweating to all appearances as if I had actually done something resembling a jog. Good times. You're with Sammy J and his heroic sporting moments. Right up there with Kieran Perkins, Beck Cole and Lane Beachley. Speaking of heroes, though, my gosh, Jimmy Giggle. A hero to all families around Australia. But recently metamorphosed, transitioned, pivoted. Yeah, we'll go with that. Pivoted away from the heady world of Giggle and Hoot and into the far more lucrative world of political satire with some amazing online videos that have taken Australia by storm. Not just that, he's put out a brand new kids book called Bedtime Sorted, something many parents will relate to. And he's joining me right now to talk about a subject that he's very passionate about. Jimmy Rees, what is the hill you would die on?
Well, there's several hills, but this one is forefront of the mind at the moment with the Olympics on, which is damn horses in the damn Olympics. Why do we have horses in the Olympics, you know? I feel like this is the pinnacle of human ability. There's people throwing heavy things. There's people throwing spears as far as they can. There's people running around a track as fast as you can. You know, lifting heavy things, doing dances and crazy stuff, and then there's a horse. What's with the horse in the Olympics?
Jimmy Rees, are you being horsist? Are you trying to cut the animal kingdom out of our Olympic Games?
Yes, because every other event is to do with humans doing things, except for this. Sammy J, if you put a saddle on my back and you rode me around a course, Would people be cheering you, or would they be cheering me with my big legs trying to carry? Oh, I wouldn't need large legs carrying you around. Let's be honest. But
I will simply say that video would be a viral hit, and you and I would both benefit.
But this is the hill that I would die on. Get the horses can have their own Olympics.
What I love about this is this is almost like an animal liberationist perspective, but it doesn't seem like you care much for the horses. You're just more interested in humans taking more glory.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, we'll tack that on. Good thought, Sammy. Yeah, good thought.
So, renowned horse lover Jimmy Rees here wishes to liberate the horses because... You just basically, you think any hint, it's like when you see a circus show and then there's like an acrobat, you're like, no, I came for animals. Is this the reverse? You don't want any beasts sullying your human achievements?
This is the reverse. This is absolutely the reverse. And also, you know, there's some events in there like the steeplechase, right? The steeplechase is humans doing what horses would do. You know, they were jumping over horse fences. We've got the hybrid event. We've already done it. We've already eradicated the horses from the steeplechase event. Oh, we'll have the humans jump over the horse gate and then over a little pond. So why do we need the horses again? Come on.
As a side argument to this battle, as people are, you know, flinging their arrows at us, and I'll stand beside you in this battle, I will hold up my shield and defend this perspective. Are you also basically throwing shade at the humans who are riding the horses here? Like, do you think they're pretty much doing nothing and it's all the horses doing the hard work?
Oh, look, I know that there is a lot involved in training a horse, but when there's the lactic acid buildup, as we see, you know, in an interview after the swimming, they can't even talk. Interview the horse and the horse won't be able to talk.
I think you just took a flesh wound there. So what is your argument there?
I don't even know what my argument is. I think that horses should have their own Olympics. Now, that would be awesome. That would be awesome, in fact. That would be so awesome.
Hey.
Let's just do the horse Olympics, and then we'll have just the human Olympics also.
Jimmy Rees, the headlines are in. I've just seen the Herald Sun have already put online that Jimmy Rees, renowned star at Giggle and Hoot, detests human Olympians. It's not going to be great for your career, but we'll get them back when I put a saddle on your back or vice versa and ride around for some online content. Deal?
Deal. That is a deal.
Hey, have you been vaccinated yet? If you're like most of Australia, the answer is no, but hopefully that will improve in the coming months ahead, certainly for the arts, because a lot of people want to introduce vaccine passports. They're doing a little bit more of it overseas where you've got to show proof of vaccination to be able to potentially enjoy theatre shows and music shows in the months or indeed years ahead. Michael Chugg is touring impresario. He's brought over the likes of Coldplay, Robbie Williams. He's the man behind those deals, and he's teamed up with a whole lot of other businesses to get behind this idea of vaccine passports. G'day, Michael.
Thanks, Sammy Joe. I haven't teamed up with anybody. I was asked my opinion, and my opinion was that vaccination passports would be a very good idea. But the bottom line is we need to get vaccinated. We can talk as much as we want about passports and everything, but until the government get their act together and get people vaccinated, what's the use of even talking about it?
Well, look, we're talking about it because I guess pressure from someone like you can lead to steps forward. Do you feel that your perspective has been listened to here as, you know, pretty much a heavyweight in this industry?
We need vaccination. There is a call for vaccination passports down the road, but let's get vaccinated first.
Eric Clapton, for example, has said he will not play shows where proof of vaccines is required. He's against that idea. Do you, on the other hand, think that once it's in place, then that's something that would be reasonable to enforce?
Eric Clapton's always had a weird outlook on life.
Yeah, he writes some good songs, though, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Out of 10, how'd you rate them?
Rate what?
Eric Clapton's songs.
Why are we talking about Eric Clapton?
And what would you say to the Premier if he's listening right now?
Well, it's not up to the Premier. It's up to the federal government getting the vaccines rolling out.
That is the Michael Chugg word on the street.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Hey, Michael Chugg, thank you for your time this morning. Just finally, do you think we should open every stadium concert in future with the Lord's Prayer?
That's very funny.
Cheers, Michael Chugg. Oh, I cracked him in the end. Kerry Hoare is an Australian former rower, a national champion, world champion and four-time Olympian.
We did have the rowing on at work yesterday, and I'm a pharmacist as well, so I hope that I gave all the patients the right medication, because I was so excited watching the men's four and the women's four yesterday.
I think in a future lawsuit, I was watching the Olympics as a legitimate defence.
I think so.
This is the Sammy J Snack Pack. Open with care.
Okay, listeners, look, we're a few episodes in and out of the podcast. I deeply appreciate your company. Thank you for switching on, tuning in, downloading, streaming. But we know each other a little more by now. Certainly you know that I have a propensity to waffle, to warble, to ramble, and to misspeak. And don't I know it, when you're on the ABC, people love to point out your deficiencies when it comes to verbosity. I often say shouldn't of instead of shouldn't have, for example. I mean, I'm out of my depth in this broadcasting game, I'm going to be honest. So I've dragged in Monash University's Professor in Linguistics, Kate Burridge, to help me out. Kate, make me feel better. Do you ever misspeak yourself, even though you're a linguist?
Oh, Sammy, there's a moment that still makes my toes curl. I was a young student at a conference. I was terribly nervous. And I was talking about Middle Dutch, which was my area of specialty then. I'd worked on medieval Dutch, which is known as Middle Dutch. And I needed to say the period of Middle Dutch, and it came out as the myriad of Piddle Dutch. And it kept coming out. I was stuck in a groove, you know. And I got so spooked that I had to sort of sneak up on the phrase. It was awful.
And the worst thing, even in your blunder, you know you got the myriad of wrong. We've discussed this. It's myriad right. choices, not myriad right. of choices. Kate Burridge.
Double whammy.
You get one of these.
That's a Kayleigh McEwen moment.
Congratulations, you are human after all. Kate Burridge. Is it true that the swear word, the one we're referring to that starts with F, is actually an acronym yes. for fornication under the consent of the king, or is that a myth?
No, that's what's called a backronym. So that's a kind of wise after the event acronym. no evidence at all for that. It's a mongrel. There are many, many origins, but probably the source is a very old verb, which is furk.
Furk. And what did that mean?
Was and furky toodling was a beautiful old word for foreplay. We've lost it.
Furky toodling.
Furky toodling, isn't it beautiful?
So yes. The E9 kids behind the sports shed would be having a bit of forky toodling.
That's right. You can spell it as you want, either with an I or an E. Furky toodling, yes. So furk meant, well, I won't go into the metaphor. Yes, that's probably obvious.
Well, what a journey it has been. We've been all over the world. All over the country. I feel like this has been more than a snack pack, if I'm honest. I feel like it's been more of a lunchbox. Can we change the name of the podcast to Sammy Jay? No? No, far too late? Okay, not to worry. Snack pack it is. Thanks for downloading. Please be sure to rate and review it if you have a moment. If not, tell your friends about it. If not, totally fine. Full respect. Thank you so much to Sir Ross Kavanagh for pushing the buttons and to all of you for listening. Looking forward to catching you next week. Okay, I'm still here. It's almost predictable, isn't it? I do this thing where I say goodbye, but then I stick around because I got one more crumb left. Here it is, coming straight at your ear canals. Have a good week.
You've been munching on the Sammy J Snack Pack. Clean yourself up.
I'm letting me out in a very early morning pee, and then I hear this big thump. I was still in bed.
Yeah.
He's collapsed against the wall, and she's come bang on the door. Lock, quick, come and say goodbye to your dog. She's actually started CPR, and so she's grabbed his mouth, held it shut, and started breathing up his nose, her partner Peter, and started pumping on his chest, the side of his big chest, and he's come back to life. Yeah,
what?
Probably a minute or so after that, and he's pretty much stood up, walked straight into the kitchen for breakfast.